Welcome to Rusak Gamers.
Welcome back to the Rusak Gamers podcast. This is episode 53 in the continuation of our side trip through the Dresden Files RPG as we wrap up City Creation. Leave us questions, comments, and general feedback on our voicemail, 502-4141-RU, that's 502-4141-766. Leave a voicemail and we'll send you a prize. You can also use our email address, roy@rusakgamers.com. And don't forget to drop by our RPG Crosstalk forum. Just scroll down to the Rusak Gamers section. Links to these sites, our archives, and more can be found at podcast.rusakgamers.com. Enjoy the show. All right, we're recording now.
You know, if you were to start a page on Obsidian Portal, we could help you put this in there.
Damn it, Doug! 5 seconds into the recording. 5 seconds!
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, I did not get the chance to do Obsidian Portal, but I have been in contact with the guy who was doing... let me give him a plug. The Emerald City on Obsidian Portal. I actually made him one of my favorites because that's a pretty amazing... setup that they've got going. They run a Dresden Files game in Seattle. Mystical Seattle.
So they've already created all the templates and whatever?
Oh yeah, they've done... they've gotten through everything. And they're in the middle of their game. And they even do... I don't know how he did it. I'm going to have to email him and find out. They've got... apparently some of the stuff that happens in the story of their city, they've put into a fake newspaper that's front page of their City Portal page. So, Emerald City guys, damn good job. I will make sure to put a link in the show notes. Okay, so here's the problem.
So who are you again?
I'm Roy.
I'm Joe.
I'm Doug.
I'm Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Keeping us on track. So, here's the problem. Of course, you know, the reason we're doing this is because Jeff can't be here, and he's derailed our Witherscape game. Jason and Todd couldn't make it tonight, so we can't actually do much on character creation, because everyone needs to be here for character creation.
And Neil didn't want to play.
I could have told Neil that, but he never asked. There's no minis, and you don't get to, you know, beat someone over the head with a stick.
But he loves the whole character background.
I know, I don't understand.
Relationship thing, and he makes these really elaborate stories for his 3-5 characters that we never find out about. And I figured this is the game for him.
I really thought he would, but you know, I guess City Creation went on longer and he wanted to, and
he checked out pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on the iPad within 15 minutes, I think. You know, you get what you put into it. So anyways, we ended up coming up with some names at the end of the last game, and we're going to finish them up this time and start a little bit of character creation that we don't have to have all the rest of the guys for. And then next time, we'll be able to jump right in with character creation with them and nail it off and have a story to start working on. Okay, so we've accomplished Hogan's Fountain, that's in Cherokee Park, Waverly Sanitarium, which is a former tuberculosis hospital, reputed to be very haunted, the Bat Factory, which is the Louisville Bat Factory, it's downtown, and we also have 4th Street Live, Mega Cavern and Zoo, the Troll Pub and Musician Stage, Cave Hill Cemetery, Indian burial mounds at the Water Tower, and the Crescent Hill Reservoir. So, over the week, Joe pitched some really good ideas for 4th Street Live. Joe, you want to talk about them? Although, I think Doug's the only one that could actually see the text from the image.
Well, I resent another one with it attached to, but I don't have the email. You can read the email.
Okay, you want me to read that? Okay, so for 4th Street Live, he has the idea developed and funded by Cordish as a feeding grounds for white vampires, or training area for newly turned white vampires, or intended to be used as a feeding resort for high-ranking whites visiting the city. This could explain why there's so many different types of clubs. Want to feed on young girls, Sully's, In the Mood for Aged Meat, Maker's Mark, Country Fried, Visit Saddle Ridge. And I and there's all, the last one, Howl at the Moon, maybe a secret affiliation of werewolves. But I think we've got enough enough craziness as far as the vampires going in there. That one's kind of... That's something we could always bring in later as a complication, which would be a lot of fun. My favorite was actually mainly the intended to be used as a feeding resort, which you could actually combine with the training area for Newly Turned.
Yeah.
I mean, it would mm-hmm. actually work pretty easily to just subvert that other one into it.
The training ground connection.
The training ground.
Would actually, I'd see that as not so much as a theme, but as a consequence.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
this is a feeding resort, so where do you go to learn? Why not?
Yeah.
It would explain the sick people throwing up on the curb.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's the other thing about the white cord vampires is that they don't. They usually don't feed on a human till that human dies. They usually just take what they want, and the human becomes sort of addicted to the feeding, and so they keep coming back and back and back. So it would explain a lot of 4th Street Live.
It's like the cat virus.
Yes, the cat virus that makes mice brave.
Yeah.
Yes. That is amazing stuff. Okay, so the aspect would be... So what would you think an aspect would be for that?
Wait, so the idea is a training ground?
A feeding resort.
Feeding resort slash training ground, I guess, if we can throw both in. I mean...
Well, we don't have to put... We don't have to put the feeding resort as part of the idea.
What do you mean? Training ground?
We don't have to put the training ground as part of the idea. We can keep that
in doesn't our pocket. Mean it's not there.
It doesn't mean it's not there. Keep it in our pocket, something that could come up in in your character creation, something that could come up during the game, anything like that. It might make some interesting stuff. So do we want to make this a theme or a threat?
What's the fundamental difference between the two?
Threats are more dangerous.
A theme is like this is a place in the story that you can throw in whatever you want, and a threat is like this is a major place where bad stuff's happening all the time.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a good description.
I would think that this would be a threat.
I would almost think it'd be a threat too.
Well,
a threat to the city. We can do it. And you know what? If we come across it later and we think we can change it, that's the nice thing about this stuff. Bill was one of the first ones to convince me to use a pencil in my burning wheel sheets. So, pencil is an excellent idea when doing your fate preparation for Dresden Files. Because a lot of this stuff can be changed as you go through it. Okay, so feeding resorts. All you can eat buffet.
It's dinner time.
It's dinner time. Which kind of goes along with feeding the beast aspect of the city.
Golden Corral.
Oh, you don't want to get yelled at by the Golden Corral
people. We just call it Yum.
Well, it has a little bit of everything.
It's a
well,
buffet.
That goes along with the buffet,
Yeah. Although Yum works.
Yum, too. Yeah.
White Court Buffet, Yum. White Court Buffet?
White Court Buffet sounds good to me.
It explains a little bit more than the rest of it.
Or, douchebags. It's what's for dinner. For the listeners, 4th Street Live is this kind of a special project our former mayor had, and it's an outdoor venue. They took an old mall downtown, and they opened it up, and they made all these outdoor bars, and it's ultra cool, ultra hip.
They have out free outdoor concerts.
Yeah.
They section off the street every night.
It's where they did most of their outdoor scenes for the NCAA tournament from this year.
Yes.
So anytime you saw a crazy UK player running around, he was always on 4th Street Live.
Yeah, and it's very, no flip-flops, no... Yes.
Each of the bars have a dress code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
Each of the bars
have each a dress code?
Yeah. And there's and the open area has the open area has a dress code, too.
Oh.
When they put the pylons down at night, to keep the cars from going... Because you actually can drive through it at certain points of the day.
Right.
When they put the pylons down, they institute the dress code.
Right.
And
So the street has a dress code.
Yes.
Cops at each end, checking IDs, putting bands on your arm, and checking your dress code.
Yes.
And you have to get past them to get in the middle area, and then to go into the bars, there's a bouncer checking your band and enforcing their own dress code.
Right.
Yep. And each
so
bar
shorts has... might get you into the middle, but shorts won't get you into wherever.
Unless they're Daisy Dukes, and they can get into the country bar.
Unless you're hot.
Yeah, if you're hot and, you know.
Oh, yeah, if you're hot, you're in it.
22 years old, you pretty much get anywhere you want to, but.
Face it, none of us.
Yeah, old farts like us is way too cool for old farts like us.
Right, but there's like an Irish pub down there. There's
there's a country hard bar. Rock. There is a hard rock.
There's a bowling alley slash
the bowling
bar.
Alley closed.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, yeah. So did Felt, the ultra hip pool hall.
Hmm.
Now there's a comedy club.
Yeah,
a Maker's Mark.
The bookstore closed.
Yeah.
All over town.
It's a trend.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's 4th Street Live. It's basically two blocks of nightclubs.
And
contiguous.
Yes, I mean, continuous two blocks of nightclubs. Mm.
And the
contiguous.
I would call the
contiguous.
The patrons are extremely young, Jersey Shore, collars popped, very douche-like.
Right. You wouldn't have any trouble feeding on any of these people.
No.
You would not feel bad about
it. No, not at all.
Okay, so that's 4th Street Live.
Unless he's a balding 40-something, and then you'd feel really bad about it.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the Mega Cavern / Zoo. Now, the reason we put these together, I think I mentioned last time, is that the zoo pretty much sits over top of Mega Cavern. And Mega Cavern is actually a former limestone mine. And,
/ TB clinic / storage space.
Yeah, well, a lot of underground areas were TB clinics, and they didn't use a storage space until after the clinic closed.
Right.
I mean, Mammoth Cave was once a TB clinic.
Limestone mine, TB clinic, storage space.
Yeah.
In its timeline.
The main part of it is underground storage, secure storage for just about anything.
Temperature-controlled secure storage.
Mm-hmm. Yes, temperature-controlled secured storage.
Right.
In a nuclear holocaust, the place you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that they were all saying. They were saying back into the 60s, I think.
If you played Fallout, it's the vault.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's Vault 502.
Make great location for LARPing.
Mm-hmm.
And the zoo is on top of that. Okay, so we don't... I mean, that's basically the description. I guess this would be more of a theme, because we're not really sure of what it would be. What is our idea? I mean, the idea I had tossed out is that someone had been using the excuse. Yeah, well, had been using the excuse of cutting through the limestone to make a Grand Central Station for the Never Never. Okay, and that's the idea I threw out. And Doug had a really good idea. The someone was down there looking for something. Obsessively looking for something.
Yeah, and I have the name of the guy who actually found it.
Yeah, that's on here.
The picture,
creepy.
Yeah, yeah. Ralph Rogers. Yeah, you know, I don't know if we want to use him as a face or anything.
No,
just information for you.
Yeah, but it is kind of cool. I mean, one of his descendants could actually be. I mean, on the sheets we've got here, we've actually got more faces we can use. We could actually come up with a face for the Mega Caverns.
Do we have any faces for any of these locations?
Yeah.
Well, Jackson Green and Mackenzie Brown both tie into 4th Street Live pretty easily, because they're Cordish. I actually have a face that I haven't included yet that I would like to slip in for the Troll Pub and Magician Stage, which is coming up. We don't have anything for, Hogan's Fountain, we don't have anything. We don't have anything for Waverly either.
The Bat Factory was Drexel Oldham.
Mercurial Benefactor, I think is what we were calling it. Is high concept.
Who?
Drexel Oldham. Is the face of feeding the beast high concept.
Mercenary Benefactor. Although Mercurial Benefactor sounds cooler.
This is the Bat Factory?
Yeah, that's the guy for the Bat Factory.
Hammer out his? Was he? Did he have a deal with the Fae that hit?
We didn't hammer out anything else. We don't really need to.
We don't need to unless somebody. Yeah.
His motivation is to free himself from obligations to the Fae, yeah. But we never said what the obligation was.
Right. Let's see. We've got Mama Kazito and the Happy Buddha, and they aren't really tied to anything. And while I do like those characters, I think actually right now would be a perfect point to say this. This Louisville, our version of Louisville for the Dresden Files is a parody. Okay. If anyone thinks that we really think Mama Kazito is a voodoo priestess, or this guy, we don't even know his name, we're calling the Happy Buddha, is an information broker about the supernatural, they really need to unclench and relax. This is all done in jest and fun and parody. Okay?
Please don't sue us.
Which brings us to Dr. Race Morgan. He's the face of Bigger in Mind. High concept of plastic surgeon. I will make it prettier.
We didn't tie him to any location.
Yeah, he's not tied to any location.
He doesn't need to be tied to a location.
Okay. No, he doesn't, but we kind of need a face. So here's the thing. These may be our faces for the city, but we also need to come up with faces for the location specifically.
Right.
So
do we have to?
Some of which cross over, some of which don't.
Yeah, they don't have to be the same. They could. They don't have to have as much detail. We should have an idea of some things. Like Hogan's Fountain, don't need to worry about that one. Okay, that's a summer court thing. We can throw summer court fairies. Summer court fairies don't necessarily need a specific name. I can work with that, and that's not a problem.
That's what I was saying. We don't need.
Don't necessarily need. Okay. No. Dr. Race Morgan, we could actually throw him in the Crescent Hill Reservoir. Not literally.
Well, not yet.
Not yet. But, I mean, he could live near Crescent Hill. Might have a nice house over there. I mean...
Or he might frequent the Troll Club.
He's probably more of a 4th Street Live kind of guy. Yeah. So what it looked like to me is, I mean, we had a ton of 4th Street Live stuff. I mean, we could throw him into 4th Street Live. Easy. He could easily end up being a 4th Street Live. But we could also throw him in the... Yeah, the doctor.
Well, let's hold on to him until we get to the end and decide somebody needs a face and we can't think of anything else.
Okay. Because yeah, I've got another face
that will come up. He's not a vampire, so he'd be a victim in 4th Street Live.
He might be.
If he were... I mean, you know, that's neither here nor there, but, you know.
Would any of the supernatural beings in this world need a plastic surgeon? I mean, like, do vampires start exhibiting weird pointy ears or something that this guy may correct?
No, they see the Black Court are the least human looking, and they don't care. I mean, they're traditional vampire. They are the extreme traditional vampire, the Nosferatu like vampire, the animated dead body going to suck your blood vampire.
Right.
And they don't care. Literally, they don't care. The Red Court are the White Court vampires, deal with them first, are extremely attractive. That's how they do their feeding. They instill lust in you and then feed off your lustful emotions.
So they could benefit from plastic surgery.
No, they don't need to.
No. Becoming a vampire makes them beautiful?
They are already beautiful as vampires. They are fantastically beautiful as vampires. In fact, the other thing about the White Court is when they do fantastical supernatural things, they're feeding off their own energy to boost that, and their inner demon, as they call it, comes out, and that makes them at the same time more horrific and more beautiful. I mean, there's some scenes in the books that are just insane because of that. Is it no, it's the book before Changes, so it would be Turncoat. There's a scene in Turncoat with some female White Court vampires rappelling out of a helicopter onto an island wearing high heels and bandoliers of ammunition, and very little else.
Hmm.
And Harry has an extremely difficult time at one point of maintaining his concentration. So, and the Red Corps vampires, they can put on what they call a flesh mask and look fine. They wouldn't need... Their flesh mask is a mystical thing. It's not a magical, supernatural thing. It's not a plastic surgeon thing.
What about the ghouls?
Ghouls, maybe.
So maybe he's the face of... maybe he's involved in Waverly Hills. Maybe not the face of it, but maybe the ghouls go to him.
Sure.
Well, face it doesn't mean he's in charge of it. It just means that that's someone who's connected to it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. He doesn't... He is a face of it. It's when you think of... when you think of Waverly, you think of it. And people in the know who know that ghouls live at Waverly might say, okay... I know this guy keeps going up there a whole lot, and it's kind of weird.
Right.
Okay. That's a good idea. There's one of the scenes in the books is a ghoul who takes a hit out on Harry, and when he does it, he looks like a little old lady. And the way they seem to describe it is that fact that he had killed a little old lady and squeezed himself into her body.
An Edgar suit.
Yeah, a lot like an Edgar suit. So, yeah, let's put him as the face of... Waverly for a second. That'd be fun. Back to the Mega Cavern. Just finish that off. Idea.
Right, so we said it's was built to be the gateway, or it was built because somebody was obsessing over finding something, or some combination of
it. It could actually be both.
Mm-hmm. He was obsessed over
He was obsessed for looking for something down there.
That turned out to be the gateway.
Well, I mean, they're actually... Oh, Bill got... A light went on in Bill's head.
The secret is still hidden.
Yeah.
He's still looking.
No, that's
the idea. That's the idea. The secret is still hidden.
All right.
How do we turn that into an aspect? Because that is close to an aspect. Any ideas?
Depths of the unknown.
Hidden in plain sight.
It's just a little further?
Just under the surface.
That's it. Just a little further.
Just a little further.
Like
it's not pretty underneath.
The secret is still hidden. The secret is still hidden.
Just a little deeper? If you can keep the spark out of here.
Did someone say dig a little deeper?
I think so.
Did someone say that a minute ago? Joe, did you say that?
I didn't say dig, but...
I think you might be remembering parts of two different people's sentences, but hey.
Hey, how does dig a little deeper? Dig a little deeper?
Yep.
Dig a little deeper.
Never, what's it called? Never what?
Never never?
Never never. So the Mega Caverns is a never never nexus, and under description. The Mega Caverns, the never never nexus, and the location of a hidden...
I would start off with what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
In reality?
Yeah.
Or in
Limestone Caverns. In reality. Man-made limestone caverns is the nexus to the Never Never.
Yeah.
Okay.
With a nexus to the Never Never. The thing about the Never Never is that people can, or wizards can cross over into it, casting a spell. You know, they can roll up a window into the Never Never and cross over into it.
Can normal people through the Mega Cavern?
If they're, if they know where a door is, they could. Because there are some places where the space between our world and their world,
where the fabric is thin.
The fabric is thin. Thank you. Yes. In fact, in some of the way they explain it in the books is like some of these stories that you hear about fairies in you know, England and Ireland and Scotland, things like that. It's like people crossing over and then they come back 100 years later, kind of thing. That idea. Wizards also use the Never Never as a way to travel, because a door into the Never Never through, for example, the wall behind Doug goes into point A in the Never Never. You walk 5 feet to point B, open a window back to our world, you could be in Europe. Okay, so 2 points very close to the Never Never can be far apart in our world. And so the wizards use that to travel. Cave Hill Cemetery. Let's jump down to that real quick.
I know absolutely nothing about that location.
There's lots of graves.
It's a cemetery.
Giant cemetery built on a hill with a cave system underneath it.
Which
old.
In Louisville, there's a cave system under almost everything.
Right.
Yeah. Are there any Civil War?
I don't know how old it is.
I don't know. Guess I could look it up. Colonel Sanders. Yeah, the Colonel Sanders is buried there. So is my wife's cousin.
And there's a wall around it.
Cemetery. Yes.
And are there any stories about it? And you're not haunted? Anything good? No. It's just a landmark?
It's just beautiful.
It's absolutely gorgeous. If you've never gone back in there and just go back in there, it's amazing.
The gardening is well tended, so that's beautiful. Nearly all the stones are ancient carved, not ancient, but they're older carved, beautiful looking stuff. There's mausoleums, there's statuary. It's just a gorgeous place to go visit. I mean, for a graveyard, it's kind of a juxtaposition between
a grave
how beautiful
and a
it is and the fact that that's where you go
when you die. Celebration of life and death.
Yes.
Dead people definitely want to hang out there.
Yeah. And if you want to attribute something weird to it, it's completely walled, and you are not allowed to enter after dark.
Chartered by the General Assembly of Kentucky on February 5th, 1848, for the purpose of operating a rural cemetery, Cave Hill was dedicated in July of that year, and the transition of Cave Hill Farm into a beautiful and historic cemetery began. So it was first started as a farm. The cave system was found when he was looking, when the farmer was looking for a spring. When surveyed by Edmund Lee in 1847, the spring was 11 feet above the creek, which was later made into a lake. The spring is protected by a sizable cave, which can be entered on foot for about 30 feet. Crawl space extends another 45 feet. However, footing is treacherous, and the cave is off limits. Ooh.
Yeah, it's off limits, but people still sneak in there and crawl into it. From what I remember as a kid, there's a big opening in the rock in the back of the cemetery. You can just wiggle right into it.
The one over by the roads. Was that road back there?
But back in the back by the...
Grinstead? Is that Grinstead?
Grinstead runs by it, yeah.
Yeah.
On one side at least.
Yeah. It might be where it splits. Lexington. So Lexington and Grinstead cross each other at that point. I think it's still best. So it might be Lexington where there's some pretty sizable sheer rock faced walls at the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it Lexington?
Well, the front entrance is right there at Baxter. Yeah.
Baxter and
Grinstead.
Is that Grinstead?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not what I'm thinking then.
Or is it Grinstead?
No, Grinstead is up a little bit. That's actually Broadway, wherever Broadway curves into. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, this is... No one cares about
that. Academic.
Joe.
Yes.
It's an old cemetery with a cave. Theme, I'm thinking, because it... None of us really seem to think that it's a very sinister place.
Other than the general association of putting a cemetery in a magical, mystical campaign.
Yeah.
I think it fits more theme, yeah.
I'm dwelling on a little bit of what Doug was saying just a second ago. Idea could be a beautiful pastoral cemetery in the middle of the metropolis, which is stretching things for Louisville, but in the middle of the city. And then the aspect could be where the dead want to go.
Ooh, where the dead hang out.
Where the dead hang out.
People are dying.
Where the dead hang.
People are dying to get in.
Oh, dying to get in. I like that as an aspect. What do y'all think? Dying to get in.
It's what everyone says about every graveyard they see.
Sure.
Yeah, but
this one... It's an old cemetery, though.
Yeah. Is it a real cemetery? I like that as an aspect. Is there a consensus? If there's not, I don't care. I'm writing it down.
Write it down.
Dying to get in. Idea.
That's the idea?
No, that's the aspect. Idea, I'm still hanging on pastoral cemetery.
Urban pastoral
cemetery. Urban pastoral cemetery. I don't have a face of that yet, but that's okay. Does anybody know about the Indian burial mounds at the water tower?
I know nothing about it.
No. I think that should be the idea. I think to go with, I think it, yeah. To me it would seem that the name is the water town.
Yeah.
And the idea is the Indian burial ground. Mound.
Indian burial mounds.
And yeah. I say that knowing absolutely nothing about the Indian burial ground.
Me neither. Never.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the theme. And the idea is Indian burial ground.
See what comes up on Google.
I do know they hold lots of festivals there. Music festivals around the water town. Or have in the past.
A lot of races start or end there.
Yep.
5Ks. And
really? I haven't gone to one.
Run for the Sun. Is
really?
Yeah. Where does Run for the Rosé start or end?
That's not 5K. That's Belvedere.
Is that Belvedere?
That's yeah. Five. It's a 5-liter run.
Yeah. 5-liter run? 5-block run for beer?
No, it's the one where you pour your wine in your glasses and you run around.
I thought it was an actual run, though.
No. Well, I mean, you have to move fast, but...
Well, you actually have to have the tray and the glass.
Right, no, I knew there were actual glasses and trays, but I thought it was more of an actual run and not just a couple blocks to see if we didn't spill anything. No.
You have to complete the course the fastest with the most booze left in the glass.
Right. That was my understanding of it. Yes. Yes.
Todd was the one who posted whatever, or not posted, he's the one that said something about the Indian burial mounds. I couldn't find anything on it, but you know what? That doesn't mean matter. It can't be there. So, name, water tower. Idea...
Indian burial grounds.
Indian burial grounds.
Theme or threat? Most likely a theme.
Theme?
Yeah. This could actually... We could actually... we can actually make Happy Buddha the face.
Or Mama Zito.
Or Mama Zita. That's right. Mama Kazito, because she's got... she's voodoo priestess.
Right.
She would know.
Kind of seems like burial grounds go with voodoo.
Yeah. You're right.
Okay, sure. So the face is Mama Zito.
Yeah, maybe she's doing something there.
Kazito, what is her name?
Kazito.
Okay,
so Indian burial grounds. Do we have what about an aspect for this?
Are we looking for some kind of voodoo aspect, though?
Probably not. Really. Maybe a fortune teller type. I mean, I just see Mama Kazito as like a seer.
Sure. No, but that's her. Not the location.
I mean, we could tie her. We could end up tying her to the grounds easily. I mean, that's not that hard to do. We're coming up with an aspect. I mean, so far all we've got is water tower, Indian burial grounds. So we need an aspect of it. Want to put that on the back burner for a second?
Maybe Todd should have some input.
We can ask Todd for some more information.
Enlightenment with a backbeat. I mean, that is where they do the reggae festivals.
That is where they do the reggae festivals. I like it. It doesn't necessarily tie into the Indian burial mounds aspect. I mean, idea.
It doesn't. But it doesn't not.
It doesn't not. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Enlightenment with a backbeat. Right? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Water tower.
Old water tower on the banks of the Ohio. Location of several music festivals.
How about, instead of saying location of music festivals, just say used for public gatherings or something like that?
I was just drawing on the backbeat aspect, part of the aspect. That's the only reason.
Okay.
Location of gatherings and several. How about that?
Yeah.
And several music festivals. Crescent Hill Reservoir. Who brought that one up?
I don't know what that is.
It's
exactly what it
it's
sounds
a
like.
Reservoir over at Crescent Hill,
with a walkway around it.
Yeah,
a lot of people are constantly walking around it, all hours of the day and night.
Yeah,
where you could throw any kind of poison into our water supply that you might want to,
with no one watching.
Absolutely no one watching.
Yeah, but it goes through so much.
But then it gets processed.
That's why I don't think they really don't care.
Well, the ducks will keep you from doing it.
Yeah.
You would notice something was wrong rather quickly when the ducks start dying.
Mm-hmm.
And the fish come to the surface.
Well, but it's one of those places in Louisville. There's so many places that just exist. I have written down, I don't know what was said, but the idea of monster gathering place.
I think we started naming places at the end, like, oh, we'll figure out stuff as later. I don't think we put any.
We threw some stuff out there, I remember, together. Monster gathering place isn't a bad idea. We can make it a theme, not necessarily a threat, because it seems to be our threats are going to be mostly downtown 4th Street Live.
Waverly.
And Waverly.
That's pretty much it.
So we can make it a theme. The idea is gathering place for the local supernatural. That would encompass just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need a mundane location?
We haven't done the troll pub yet.
Okay, and so the pub will be...
Do we really need a mundane
location? Do you want a mundane location?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Do we need one? Because this sounds like a mundane location to me.
Yeah, I mean, there doesn't have to be anything mystical about it, except for that some monsters like to meet there on occasion. You know, like the what's-its-face from the Trestles. The goat-headed guy from the Trestles. Yeah. The goat man. Which, by the way, somebody statted up in an old Dragon magazine.
Okay, so Crescent Hill Reservoir, gathering place for supernatural.
I mean, some of these, we might not ever use it. It's there. I mean, when we can tinker with it later. Does anyone have a good aspect of it?
Deep hole full of water.
that would be a description.
I'm putting that under description.
Well of supernatural information. Draws on your deep hole of water.
How about the aspect is the place to go? The place to meet.
A monstrous place to go. It's a little more sinister than what I really wanted. But.
Everyone who goes there walks around it.
Yeah.
And they take laps. I mean, it's an exercise.
Yeah.
There you go, running in circles. That's the aspect.
Kind of like that. It actually works pretty well. Yeah. Troll pub. Did I actually send out the information when I was doing the troll pub?
Nope, I don't remember seeing it.
Maybe you did, but I...
But I also confessed I didn't read all your emails.
Exactly. I reassemble that statement.
Oh, come on. Joe put out one that's nothing but page after page after page of text.
I followed it up.
Okay, so Troll Pub.
Where is the Troll Pub? You said it's behind...
2nd Street. It's 2nd Street right there by...
Is it behind where Anthony's by the bridge used to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's where Bear Nose is, right?
Is it
Bear Nose is by the bridge, yeah. Bear Nose was Anthony's.
Yeah. I knew something else took it, and then it became Bear Nose. I didn't know it was still Bear Nose.
Now, just for my spatial reference, is it actually below Bear Nose, or is it behind Bear Nose?
I think it's actually technically below.
As in underneath?
Underneath of it, because, I mean, Bear Nose is under street level.
Right.
The Troll Pub is actually lower there, because, I mean, there's a pretty good drop-off going down there.
Okay.
I think it is actually below it. I think it was originally, it might have just been a storage area that was backfilled after the 37 flood.
And if not, it is in our world.
Wait, yes. I thought Jeff said it was a speakeasy.
I don't think it was a speakeasy.
No?
It might have been a storage area for
It was
alcohol.
Legal in 37, right?
Yeah, 37. Well, I mean, by the time it was filled in, it might have been before that. I don't think it was actually a speakeasy. I think it was more of a storage area. Mm. It could have been, though.
It is now.
Troll Pub Under the Bridge at trollpub.com. For those of you playing along at home. Oh, crud. I've got to register for a race.
Got to register for what?
The Troll Pub is sponsoring Tap and Run, which is a 4K where you chug a beer at every K.
Throw up at the end.
Hopefully not.
I don't know where we're going with the idea, but I think I have an aspect.
Okay. The idea... There's also a magician stage near there, and I was going to tie the two together, is what I was trying to do.
They may not be necessarily together right now, but they are in our world. Because I was going to have a husband-wife team. I was going to have a Loretta, and there it is, Loretta and Bill Fernie, faces of Troll Pub and Magician Stage. So I did them. I didn't do the Troll Pub itself. High concept of stage magician and her pub manager husband. Motivation of we will always help minor talents like ourselves, relationships with, and I don't have that completed yet.
Stage magician and manager, is that what you said?
Faces, yeah, the faces of troll of the troll pub and the, troll pub and the magician stage. The magician stage is an open stage where magicians can basically just go up there and do their shows.
What was their last name?
Fernie. Loretta and Bill Fernie.
Spell it.
F-E-R-N-Y.
Okay.
Bill, B-I-L-L.
Sure his name's not Richard?
Bill. Could you spell Bill for him?
W-I-L-L-I-A-M.
Mm-hmm.
I am. B-U-D-D-Y.
Okay, so...
M-A-C.
So the description is real simple. Pub and stage. It would be a theme. It's not going to be a threat. Idea, simple things like local watering hole and magician's venue, really. It's just very simple and straightforward on that. The aspect I was looking at for this was haven for minor talents.
I would think something to bring it into game terms.
Mm-hmm.
Is, well, I don't know if anybody wants to play a minor talent, but, you know, everyone play nice. Kind of a...
Everyone play nice.
I
didn't want to make it a court of neutral grounds, because we've already done that with Hogan's Fountain.
Right, but that's only for...
And also, there's a place very... No, a court of neutral ground is a court of neutral ground, period.
Okay, well, that's my lack of knowledge on the system.
Yeah, no, if it's a court of neutral ground, anyone can meet there and feel free to do so. As long as they obey the rules. I mean, you don't start fights. You don't start the throwdown in any accorded neutral ground. If you do, all the other signatories to the accords will come down on you.
So, vampires?
Vampires won't do it. Phase, I mean, yeah, everybody can mix there.
Okay.
Everybody can mix there.
Magical melting pot.
That'll work too. I just did not. The only thing is, I did not want to make it neutral grounds because there's a place very similar in the Dresden world. I didn't want to do it on purpose.
Oh.
But if it's a melting pot, I mean, if anybody feels welcome there,
I thought at the same about time that was going to be where our characters were,
sure.
Kind of the hangout.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to make it more for like.
Do we want
to? I mean, she. The yeah. I mean, the character Loretta. I was going to make her, when I statted her up, she was going to be a minor talent focused on what do they call it? What do they call it in Dresden? It's veils, which is what you use to make yourself invisible, make anything invisible. So she would be a minor talent. She uses veils to enhance her magic. And that's, she's a stage magician. And she doesn't want to be super popular because, I mean, she likes being a local person. She likes a quiet life living with her husband, who's a changeling with troll blood. And so that's why I was thinking haven for minor talents and keeping it away from the ass. I mean, and.
Oh, so Loretta is the stage magician and Bill is the manager.
Right.
Okay.
A little different.
And minor talent is a game term, not...
Yes.
Not a...
Yes, minor talent is a game term. Sorry.
Not a magic person with little skill. Which gets confusing when you start touting.
Well, minor talent... In Dresden, a lot of game terms are story terms, too.
Well, I meant story term, but, you know, when you first said it, not reading the books at this point in my life, I was thinking you were talking
start
about...
Start with summer... Start with summer night... Yeah,
start with the first one?
No, start with the fourth one. Getting back to...
Aspect.
Aspect.
Okay, so the idea is that this is a place where magicians that are minor talents go to try out new stuff, or they go to learn stuff.
Yes.
It's a school.
and not as not necessarily a school, but it's almost like a what did they call the old Greek piazza. It's a piazza. That's the idea. It's not anything formal. You don't go there and pay tuition, you know. But yeah, people will trade tricks and trade information and trade knowledge that kind of time.
Magic users helping magic users.
Yeah. Ooh. Magicians helping magicians.
Magician commune.
Oh, kind of like that. Stage magician commune. That takes a lot of the mystical out of it. With a pub.
Right.
Local brew.
The brew that is true. Mm. Well, that's the idea.
Yeah, I'm looking at it as an aspect, and I don't know if it works as an aspect.
Nah. Too wordy for an aspect.
It's not even... It's not a stage magician commune.
So, when you say stage magician, you mean now, mundane.
Mundane.
Okay.
Now, if you want this as a refuge, shouldn't the aspect be something about how it's not noticed by the mystical?
Yeah. It's a good point.
How about wannabe commune? Right? These people aren't
doesn't
magic.
Quite follow along, though.
They're not magical, but they want to be magical. Poser commune.
Amateur night.
Amateur night. I like that.
Amateur night. That's good. Bill, how does that work?
Sounds entertaining.
Yeah. Actually, Louisville does have quite a magician.
There is. There actually is a place right near the troll under the bridge.
Yeah. And Caulfield's is roughly tied into that group as well.
Oh, I like it.
I was somewhat of a... I used to do magic shows for children in my younger years.
Did you?
Yeah, I have a huge trunk at my house. It's just a pack full of stage tricks.
Wands.
Do bunnies come right out of it once in a while?
No. Yes, balls, wands, sponge balls, scarves, the rings.
Did you crush any birds?
No, but I...
break any eggs?
No, I had a mouse that I would use as a load.
Yeah,
this dinner plate, and you put a bunch of scarves in it, and put the lid on, and take it out, and the mouse will jump out.
Yeah. The stuff you learn about Joe, he's so quiet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never knew. It's always the quiet one.
Always the quiet stuff.
Hey, the whole page is filled out now.
Yes, it is. Okay, let's move on to finish off. Faces. Okay, so we do have two new faces.
Wait. Before we leave the page, though, do we want to put a face under any of these locations?
Okay, well, we can easily do one in the Troll Pub. Bill and Loretta Fernie.
Yeah, I wrote that down already.
Anybody know where I got the name Bill Fernie at?
No.
Fishtail?
Mm. Lord of the Rings. He's actually a bad guy, but, you know, hey, that's okay. Do we want to... Well,
that stands to reason. All GM characters are bad guys. Bill and Loretta aren't yet.
Okay, well, specifically, we don't have a face under Hogan's Fountain, the Mega Caves, Cave Hill Cemetery, and the Crescent Hill Reservoir.
I don't think Hogan's Fountain needs one.
Yeah, I mean, it can have one whenever we want to give it one.
Right. There's no real face of the neutral zone, though.
No, in fact, as a temporary placeholder, we can just put Summer Court. Someone who would be there would be someone, I mean, a low functionary, because let's face it, it's Louisville. You wouldn't have a queen of the summer court. One of the three queens would not be in charge of this. It would be a low level functionary, someone like Puck from the Midsummer Nights.
You wouldn't have Waylon Smith.
Hey, we're the 16th largest city in the U.S.
Yeah, at any rate. At any rate. I mean, so it'd be a low-level court functionary.
Okay. Mega Caverns. Do we need a face?
Do we want to give it a face? We got one for the Bat Factory, right? And 4th Street Live is taken care of.
Great. 4th Street Live is Jason Green and Mackenzie Brown. Right. Bat Factory is Drexel Oldham. Waverly Hills is Dr. Race Morgan. I kind of like the aspect of this guy still searching for something at the caves.
Or one of his descendants.
Yes, descendants.
I kind of like it undefined, because it gives you full cloth to trip us up with whatever brings us to it, and rather than giving us something that we can plan around.
Well, does the face have to be living? Can we name the guy who was searching who's deceased, and then you can throw in whatever ancestor you want?
Well, Face would be somebody that's involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not, I don't think, I...
Bill wants me to pull something out later that he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't guess it needs a face. So I'm saying, do we need to put a face under everything, and does anyone not having a face need a face?
I don't think necessarily Cave Hill Cemetery needs one. Crescent Hill Reservoir doesn't necessarily need one yet.
Okay.
Although the goat-headed man kind of interests me for the Crescent Hill Reservoir.
That's that page, man.
Okay, so what else? Anything else do we need to put on any of that?
No, next page.
We have two faces.
Yeah, we have two faces yet that we can do. Well, we got two faces.
I still have three blank ones.
Bill and Loretta Fernie. High concept stage magician and her pub manager husband.
And you know, Loretta is an actual magician, or she's just a
she's
talented
an actual mandate? Stage magician that uses one minor talent to
augment
her
right.
stage magician.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's a talent among mundane.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we will, with the motivation of we will always help minor talents like ourselves. Minor talents try to, in the Dresden world, minor talents try to stay hidden. Okay. They don't want to be noticed.
They don't
want to
make waves.
Exactly. In fact, one of the undercurrents in some of the later Dresden books is the minor talents banding together under something called the Paranet. So that when, because in one of the books, a bunch of them started disappearing. And they after that, they kind of started banding, the ones left started banding together and making a larger group of information that would share knowledge so that if somebody started disappearing in Seattle, people in Chicago knew about it.
So are they the face of...
Bill and Loretta are the face of the Troll Pub.
The Troll Pub.
Right. And their motivation is, we will always help minor talents like ourselves.
So we got rid of the idea that it was a common safe ground for other creatures, right?
It's not other creatures. It's
mages.
Mages. Or magicians. I mean, but...
And minor talents.
And minor. Just minor so talents. Lame. Stage magicians and minor talents.
Safe haven for the good guys.
Amateur night.
Gotcha.
Okay. Which... So fits.
It fits great. It fits perfect. Okay. Now we don't have to choose nine faces. We could stop here with the faces if we want. Or if y'all want, we can keep going and put as many faces in the city as we want.
You do reach a point of diminishing returns at some point.
Though. Exactly. Yeah. At some point you're like, okay, am I even gonna use that guy? Yeah. Problem, Doug?
My last faces of went all like mathematical functions and stuff.
It went all mathematical functions?
Yeah, it says is greater than or equal to faces, whatever.
Oops, well,
angstrom. Yeah.
That's
all,
weird.
Went all nuts. But I printed these out at home, so.
Oh, you printed yours? Okay, yeah. So it's not my fault then. Mm-hmm. Okay. City creation. Sounds mostly done.
Yay!
All right.
Okay. Character creation.
And there was no tradition.
Okay. Here's where it gets a little wonky, because we can't actually do a lot of character creation. Because in Dresden,
a good
portion of character creation requires all those who are playing to be there, because at some point people start making ties to each other using their backstories.
Okay. So we can do the first three phases.
Yes. Yeah. We can do the first three phases. Which, let me bring that back up on my laptop.
You keep characters in your wallet?
Sometimes,
yeah.
Character ideas. Where is she going to keep them safe?
In my phone. It's encrypted.
Found that I roll horribly with fate dice.
Have you tried mixing and matching yet?
No.
Mixing and matching colors?
Yeah.
Isn't that illegal?
I mean, I rarely get over a plus one, ever.
Only if you live before the 60s.
You think that's subjective?
Character ideas. Anybody have any character ideas you want to play?
Well, tell us what the templates are first, because we don't have any ideas.
Okay.
Well, you need to decide, first off, if you want to play a character who's mundane or a character that has powers.
Powers!
Okay, so the template for a mundane is pure mortal. Okay? Just like it sounds, pure mortal. Mm-hmm. And it's not that mortals are pure mortals are not powerful as they are. I mean, Harry Dresden gets into all sorts of trouble that the only reason he's able to get out of is because the pure mortal Karen Murphy is his buddy.
Right.
Okay. Waldo Butters is a character in the novels. He is he's a coroner. And he's very important to Harry. So, I mean, just because you don't have any supernatural powers doesn't mean you're not important to the story. And the mechanics help that out, too. There's also a champion of God. And the minimum refresh on that. Let's see. We get back into refresh.
Is that a mundane?
No. The only mundane is pure mortal.
Okay.
Okay. So if you want to be mundane, you're a pure mortal.
Okay.
And which means you're...
Plus two refresh, right?
Huh?
You get plus two refresh.
Yeah. Yeah. You increase your starting refresh by two. Which means, since our refresh rate is 6, if you're a pure mortal, your refresh is an 8.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, Doug and I were talking before everyone else showed up a little bit about refresh.
That's fate points, right?
Fate points, yeah. You cannot have less than one refresh. The only characters who have less than one refresh are NPCs. Because... In game terms, in Dresden, a zero or less refresh, you have no will of your own.
Oh.
Okay. And so then we start getting into things of power. Or a champion of God.
Well, give us the ones that we could potentially play based on...
Champion of God, you six. Just might be able to play. Because the minimum refresh is minus 5. Okay. You wouldn't be able to do anything. I mean, you would basically... You would take things like bless this house, guide my hand, holy touch, righteousness. Those are the musts, okay, that you have. And they add up to minus 5, which is why the minimum is a minus 5. Changeling. You could be a changeling. The minimum refresh on changeling is 0.
Ooh.
Okay, it depends entirely on how deeply your character has made the choice. So a changeling is a offspring of a fae and a human. Okay, so the different powers you choose takes off your refresh.
Hmm.
Okay. A changeling must have a high concept indicating his or her fairy parentage. For example, ogre-blooded changeling or half-pixie heritage. Let's see. Can you do an emissary of power? Yes, emissary of power. Emissaries are mortals who have been saddled with the burden of great power and great responsibility by one of the big dogs. Vast powers from fairy or the outer reaches of the never-never. Emissaries of power are often the bearers of items of great potency able to tap into the power of the patron. Okay, so knights of the fairy courts are an example. The champions of God are a separate category, but very similar. Minimum refresh is again one, minus one rather. So it just all depends on what you do, what you take. The musts are an emissary of power must have a high concept that speaks to the bargain or pact they have made with a patron. For example, last champion of autumn or dragon's toady. Can be there are dragons in the Dresden verse, and you can be an emissary of a dragon.
Hmm.
Let's see, focused practitioner. You can be a focused practitioner, which is a lot like what I've been describing as Loretta Ferney. Okay, minimum refresh on that is minus 2. Knight of the Fairy Court, minus 5. It's basically a more powerful version of the emissary power. A lycanthrope. It's not a werewolf. Lycanthropes in the Dresdenverse are not werewolves. They are humans that take in the aspects of a wolf into themselves. So they become more wolfish humans. They don't take on wolf characteristics. They take on wolf characteristics, but not physical characteristics. They become more... wolf-like in their demeanor and their mannerisms.
Hmm.
But they also get enhanced strength and recovery and stuff like that, and that's what costs them.
And the only changelings are wolves, or that's one example?
That's one example. There is minor talent is virgin in here. Let's see. The Dresdenverse is filled with mortals who have small, limited powers, whether due to long-forgotten traces of inhuman bloodlines, exposure to the supernatural, or simply the right combination of willpower and belief. For example, they have a trick. A minor talent must have a high concept that mentions the talent in some capacity. Demi, semi, hemi-god is one of them. Weeps Cassandra's tears, or Son of Shadows. The character may then take a single one refresh cost ability from the supernatural powers. Won't be able to do a sorcerer. You can do a true believer. In the Dresden Files books, there is a character named Father Forthill. He's, for all intents and purposes, he's just a general Catholic priest. But he exudes a certain amount of power because of his faith. Supernatural things just will not be attacking Father Forthill in certain areas because he has faith.
Hmm.
There are werewolves where you become a... you do a beast form. Musts include the beast change, echoes of the beast. The minimum refresh cost is -3, but the more powerful you are, the fewer points you're going to do. Like, werewolves are like a -6 or -7. So we wouldn't be able to do a werewolf with a 6 refresh.
Mm-hmm.
Roy, the powers?
Yep.
The number after each one, is that how much refresh
it costs? 169?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the different.
Joe is leaping ahead before I finish. Yes, that's the refreshes.
No, I was just... I'm thinking of probably going with a minor talent. And with a minor talent, you pick one ability.
Yeah. We wouldn't be able to do a White Court vampire. We would be able to do a White Court virgin, but, I mean, if you don't know anything about the books, there's no reason for you to really do it. And we wouldn't be able to do a wizard, because they're too powerful.
And what's Dresden?
Wizard. Dresden's a wizard.
What's the refresh on a wizard?
It starts at a -7. Now, unless y'all want to up the ability, I mean, we would have to get into some... much higher stuff that I really would rather not at this point.
Well, I don't see any reason to make it to raise everybody's level and give us more things that we don't know how to use.
Yeah, that we don't know.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah.
You have a stick and a screwdriver. Yay!
And we're not going to make too much fun of you for making us play a game where we can't be like the character the game is based on.
Well, y'all haven't even read the book, so.
Hey, that's why we're not going to make too much fun of you about it.
I watch the TV show. I know who Dresden is.
In the TV show, Dresden, that is a more lot like what we would be playing, to be honest. Because he doesn't get to do a whole lot in the TV show, because they just did not have the budget.
Right, they couldn't afford it.
I mean, the best things he did were make his staff glow, his hockey stick.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the show, too. I really enjoyed it, and I'm really sorry it didn't go farther, but... the books are much better. Okay, so come up with a character idea, then pick a template, zero in on your character's high concept.
Okay, I got it.
I got mine.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
You first.
I want to be, was True Believer? Faith?
Yeah.
What was it? True Believer? That was it? True Believer. I'm going to run the soup kitchen downtown.
Okay. True belief in what?
Well, religious institution, you know. Catholic Church, true believer, preaching to the people, all the bums that come in.
Well, is it Catholic or Baptist? Well, or
it doesn't matter what it is. That's why I say true believer. That, yeah.
Well, when you eventually get in, I mean, when you dig down into your character, I would do that for your own good, just to understand
the
where
Church
you're
of the
back.
Golden Spoon.
It could be anything. It could be an idea. I mean, one of the things they go on about in Dresden is that, in the books, is that Dresden, even though he's met archangels in the books, he does not have faith in God. He knows God exists, doesn't have any faith in it. So
He can't hold a cross up to any vampire and keep the vampire away. He does, however, have faith in magic and the knowledge of magic, and he has a pentacle that he wears that is the symbol of magic, the forces of magic bound by human thought and will. And he has faith in that, and he can use that to drive vampires. So, I mean, your faith is whatever you want it to be. You just have to have faith in it.
Right.
Do you have to have faith?
You've got to have faith.
Done.
Really?
No, in game terms, no. You don't have to have faith.
Because my character does not have faith.
No, you don't have to have faith. You don't have to have faith. There are several characters who don't have faith in anything. The funny thing is that there are, I mentioned Knights of the Cross early. There are three Knights of the Cross, and each knight has a sword with a nail from the crucifix in it. That's the, right now, and later on, there's only one Knight of the Cross. And he's agnostic.
Mm.
Because to him, it's like, God, you know, you could term it a supernaturally powerful alien, it would be the same thing.
It's been handed down through so many generations, it's lost the meaning to him.
Well, no, he was called. He was on his way to being an extremely bad guy, and he was called, and he took up the sword.
Hmm.
Yes. Can I see one? So, yeah, that's Doug. Doug's got faith.
I'm going to be...
Joe is...
a minor talent, normal human,
mm-hmm.
with the one ability of ghost speaker.
Cool.
I'm a bartender, formerly employed at 4th Street Live. Didn't like what was going on there. Or maybe I got into some trouble with Cornish, or I don't know.
Well, the ghosts were telling you what's going on.
Yeah, I worked that out. Yeah, maybe I got some inside info.
Yeah.
From the, all right.
From the undead of downtown Louisville. Sure. Or the ethereal spirits of downtown Louisville. I'm now, maybe I'm working at the Troll Pub.
Maybe.
Daniel Boone is your best friend.
Actually, Daniel Boone is a distant cousin of mine.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
My grandmother has his silverware.
Really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Crazy.
It's got a big B on him. And apparently my grandfather was Lucy Boone's... My grandfather's great aunt was one of Lucy Boone's daughters.
Huh.
Who was married to Squire Boone.
Right.
So that's one marriage, but... Yeah. So yeah, that's loosely what I'm going with now.
Cool. There is a character like that in the books. Don't worry about it. Because he is not a minor talent in the books. He's a practitioner.
Okay.
But all he does is talk to ghosts.
Yeah, that's...
In fact, when Dresden first meets him, Dresden thinks that he's a minor talent because the guy's wasting his potential. But...
I see. I'm thinking Miles.
Don't worry from about Lost. It. Huh?
Miles from Lost.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
One of my. He was.
He was a good character on there.
He was a cool character, actually.
Yeah, when you first meet him, he's scanning people.
He hated his ability, you know?
Right. Yeah, well, because he knew where it was leading to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't we just go ahead and stop there? Otherwise, it's just going to be us sitting around looking at stuff.
Okay, so research your characters.
Research your characters, and we will come at it with everyone else next week.
Should we try to fill in the first three phases over the week as homework, or do we want to talk about the phases while everybody's here to have input?
Do as much as you can beforehand, and because that way I can see what you guys think is going, and if I have a better concept of whatever you're doing, I can help you out at that time. And that will serve to help out people on the podcast who are listening to us make all these mistakes.
Should we fill in the second page, too?
What's the second page? No. No. I mean, you might get some... I jot down some ideas, but I wouldn't worry too much about all that.
Alright.
You can go looking for, like, your powers and stunts and things like that if you want, if that's what you're talking about. Yeah. you can look at that and get an idea of what you want. I mean, that way we can share all that information.
I mean, is there something in the phases 4 and 5 that are going to shape the choices you make on
No. Or? Well, what it says, once you get your story done, you might think, okay, well, in my story, I was boosting cars, so I might want
right.
to add something.
I see the logic of writing out phase 1, 2, and 3, but what I'm saying is write out phase 1, 2, and 3 and then fill in the second page because phases 4 and 5 don't affect that stuff? Or
It can affect it depending on what the input is from other players.
So wait till phase 5
and
fill out the second page.
But it's not a bad idea to go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't get time, don't feel bad about it. If you get the time and you want to do it, go right ahead. Because the more, you know, if your character is like all done except for phases 4 and 5, that's the less I got to worry about.
Okay. Leave yourself open to changes?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the only thing is leave yourself open to changes.
Okay.
And, you know,
so it sounds like a very qualified maybe.
Yes. Okay. Anything else, guys?
Nope.
Well, that sounds pretty affirmative.
Good night, kitties.
Nice.
Good night,
gang.
There you go. City Creation wrapped up with a small crew, but we had a good time doing it. Tell us about your city. Tell us about your Dresden Files RPG game. Just send us some feedback at roy@rusackgamers.com or by voicemail 502-4141-RU. That's 502-4141-766. For legal reasons, I must remind you that you've been listening to an actual play podcast by the Rusack Gamers. This production is wholly owned by its creators and is distributed under the Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. The Dresden Files RPG is copyright Evil Hat Productions, while the Dresden Files is copyright Jim Butcher. Furthermore, this game is a work of fiction with fictionalized and parodied versions of various Louisville landmarks and people. We know that Cordish isn't really run by vampires and that the Casito Cookie Lady isn't a voodoo priestess. That being said, you have to try a Casito cookie and hang out at 4th Street Live when next you visit Louisville.